Hello, everyone, and welcome to another new and improved episode of The Film. I'm your host, just like every week, Spencer, joined by my co-host, the man who once shaved his eyebrow for $7, Quentin Pierce.
Hello, everyone.
That's, like, not a lot of money, dude.
I was desperate.
It's just not a lot of money. You know what is a lot of money right now? Standard decks.
That is very true.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah, this first weekend tends to do this. Not usually this bad, but oh well.
Yeah. Wait to buy your standard cards. A couple weeks. It will get better. Standard decks will not be $700. That's just not... People just aren't going to pay that, so it's just not... They won't stay there. Like, so don't worry about it. They will go down. Don't stress too much. Don't buy your Jace's at $86. It's like it's just don't do it. But if you are going to do it at Oasis Games. You can check them out at oasisgamesslc.com. They're the sponsor of this podcast. You get 15% off of your first order by using the code CCMTG at checkout. That's a big chunk of change, especially when you're buying $86 Jace's. You use the code Would That Be Good at every order to get 5% off your order. This is going to make Oasis Games basically the cheapest place to buy Magic cards anyway. So if you're going to buy a new standard deck, make sure to check out Oasis Games for it. It means a lot to us when you use these codes. It keeps Oasis Games paying us to talk about Magic, and we like getting paid to talk about Magic.
It is a lot of fun. That's why we do this, right? Being paid to talk about Magic, that's the dream.
Exactly. If you just have a problem with Oasis Games for some reason, that's fine. You can check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/ccmtg. You can support us there directly, you donating any amount that you see fit per month, starting at $1. You know, we appreciate everything we get, and it means the world to us that there are people out there who think that what we have to say is worth something, because, I mean, that's just awesome.
Yeah, certainly this is a great way to support the cast. We have a lot of cool things coming up with the Patreon page, so go there, check it out, and anything you can give helps.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got tokens coming out soon. I saw a little bit more of the art today. We're in talks about playmats. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen. It just has to happen through something like the Patreon because, well, Quentin and I aren't just chock full of money, and we have, you know, wives and girlfriends and things like that to occupy our pocketbooks. So
yeah, we haven't won a Pro Tour yet, so not loaded with money.
Even that doesn't really load you with money, right?
No, not exactly.
I mean, 40 grand would be nice, but... yeah, so check it out, patreon.com/ccmtg. So, Quentin, what is this podcast about? What do we talk about every week on Constructor Criticism?
Well, the point of the podcast is just to help you improve at your Magic game. So we have a segment called #AlwaysImproving. Kind of helps us remember that that's the goal every time we sit down to do this cast, and it's a way for our fans to remember that as well.
So, Quentin, how did you get better at Magic this week that you actively worked at?
Well, I've been doing a ton of playtesting for the Pro Tour, but this week in particular, I actually jammed a lot of games with the Tarka Red, and I've definitely learned a lot about how to play an aggressive deck, so I'm going to go ahead and chalk that one up as a win for me, because that is something I need a lot of work at.
Yeah, so you're going to play a Tarka Red at the Pro Tour?
I actually think it's very possible.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Yeah, I think that deck is really good.
Yeah, I also think it's pretty good. I completely agree with you. I'm happy to hear that you got some games in turning some things sideways.
It's a rarity, but it does happen.
Yeah, so this week, something that, as people know, I have had some bad luck in Magic lately. I had some lot of bad beats. And I got pretty upset when, like, somebody was making fun of me this week about it, actually. Just went home very angry. Basically angry the next, like, day and a half. And, you know something? I just decided that, like, bad luck's going to happen to me, and it's fine. But I'm going to stay confident, like, find the positives that are happening in every game and things like that. And so I did that this weekend, and, like, looking over a deck list to see, like, how I did during the set review. And I crushed this set review. Don't mean to toot my horn, but, like, we had main deck despises. We had all kinds of things that I was really... We had main deck Radiant Flames going around. The only card that I gave a 0/2 that I could find that saw play was a 1/1 in the Jerry Thompson deck. It was Ugin's Insight. And it was funny because when we were testing for the Pro Tour, you know, that was one of the first cards that I put in Jerry's list as we were adapting it. I was like, we should be playing an Ugin's Insight in this deck. So, obviously, my 0 didn't last long. And, yeah, I'm gonna ride that and, like, just take that confidence and, like, apply it to my Magic game. Like, I know what I'm doing. I've learned a lot, and I'm going to push my confidence while still trying to stay humble. Like, knowing, recognizing my mistakes still, but realizing that, like, there are things that I'm getting better at in Magic and evaluating cards I have gotten better at, and I'm pretty happy about it.
It's always a good thing, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So, this week, LTO returns, Quentin.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, so I already recorded the episode with Drew Walden. You can check out Limited Time Only. It's a podcast about getting better at limited Magic. You can check it out at constructivecriticism.com. And, yeah, we're back in business. It's a bi-weekly podcast, so we'll come out every other week, and you can get it on the same feed as this one. So check it out at constructivecriticism.com and oasisgames.llc.com.
Now, is that going to come out tomorrow when you upload Constructive Criticism?
Yes, it is.
All right, excellent.
Yeah. So, every once in a while on this podcast, we have a segment called Deal or No Deal, rampantly stealing the name of a game show, with a little bit of a twist. Instead of Quentin picking a number between 1 and 25, he has to tell me whether something that happened in Magic is a big deal or no deal. And last week, we had the banning announcement, but we didn't get to talk about it because, well, Quentin and I were doing a 3-hour set review.
Yeah, we kind of had a full podcast already.
Yep. So, dig through time. Is banned in Legacy. Q, what are you going to do in Seattle?
Well, that is actually a great question, because I knew what I was doing before.
What are you doing now?
Well, I think I'll probably venture on over to Shardless, maybe Jun.
I like both of those decks.
Yeah, I think they should be pretty sweet after Dig Through Time goes out of the format.
Yeah, I'm more worried about Jund than I am about Shardless. I actually liked the position of Jund with Dig Through Time in the format, so I don't know how it's going to shake up. I haven't looked at the SCG results from this weekend to see if anything changed. But I can do that really fast while we're doing this. Oh, look, Shardless won. Okay. Good job.
Yeah, Shardless seems real sweet. I could definitely see myself casting a few Jace and Mind Sculptors. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I'm all about that deck. I'm all about that Jace, really. So what do you think? You think it's a big deal or no deal?
Oh, it's a huge deal. It changes the metagame a ton. I think the metagame was pretty stagnant with Dig Through Time the format, so it probably was correct for them to ban it. I am still sad, however, because I thought that it was sweet. Like, I don't really mind those stagnant metagames, especially when I'm trying to test a month before.
If I were to tell you how many... if I were to have you guess what the second and third place decks were from this, do you think you could get close?
Delver of Secrets, Delver of Secrets.
No. Come on, dude. What was the best deck before Dig Through Time?
Delver of Secrets.
No. It was show and tell decks.
Was it really?
Yeah, Sneak Attack, Show and Tell. Sneak and Show took second, and then Eureka Tell took third.
Eureka Tell? Interesting.
Yeah, do you know what Eureka does?
I actually don't.
So Eureka is a sorcery for 4 mana, and it has a lot of words on it, but the ones that matter are the Oracle text that say, starting with you, each player puts a permanent card from among his or her hand onto the battlefield. You proceed with this process until no one puts a card onto the battlefield.
Okay, so just more expensive show and tell, basically?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, functionally in that deck, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Grixis Delver did get in there. Some Gobbos, there were 2 Goblin decks in the top 8. Death and Taxes made its triumphant return with 3 in... with 10th, 11th, and 12th. No surprise there. That's just a deck that was being kept down. Like, this is a creature deck that was very good in the previous metagame. It was considered by some to actually just be the best deck in Legacy. Death and Taxes, very hard deck to play, but, like, had so much game against so many different decks, but I really do believe that Dig Through Time was keeping it down.
Yeah, that's what it would seem like to me. Like, it seems like Dig Through Time would just be way too much card advantage for that type of deck to be. Like, the problem is that if you try and, like, Thought Seize your way through this format, that if they top deck a Dig Through Time, like, they're just so far ahead of you.
Right. So, we had no Miracles decks in the top 16. Teemer and Delver, a few of those. Two in the top 16. One in 8th place. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of is like the same format before Dig Through Time, really.
Makes a lot of sense.
Not a lot of combo decks, because Delver was probably very rampant. But Tinfins took top 32. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it seems like there's definitely a big shakeup with this ban, so that's probably exactly what Wizards wanted.
Yeah, I think that it's a good thing, and I'm happy to see things like Death and Taxes back, and I think that this was, in fact, a big deal.
Yeah, I think it is a huge deal, too. And probably definitely is better for the overall format, but it makes me a little sad, because I really enjoyed playing Omnitel. It was a sweet deck.
Look at you, playing aggro, playing combo. You're really broadening your horizons, Quentin.
Yeah, it's about time.
Well, let's talk about the thing that everybody really wants to hear about, Quinn. They want to hear about New Standard.
Yeah, that's a good one to talk about.
So, let's start with our power rankings. Coming in at we'll go with number 6 here. So, honorable mention to Abzan Control. Came in with 6 points, putting up a top 8 and, I believe, 3 top 16, or top 32 style finishes. If I'm not mistaken, is that right, Q?
Sorry, I missed what you were asking me.
Gavs and Control had 4 in the top 32?
Yes. Yep. That is correct.
That was 6 points. I'm a pretty big fan of this deck still. I think that it's just, like, good cards. Some of the ones that we saw... We're playing the new 6-drop. The
Green Warden of Marassa?
Is that what it's called?
It is.
That's not what it's called.
Okay, it's not.
What is it? Is that really what it's called? Green Warden of Marassa?
Are you talking about the giant Den Protector?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
That's called Green Warden of Marassa?
Yes.
I don't believe you. Where's the new card?
Go to the top 8 deck list.
It's in the sideboard of that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that really what it's called? That sounded like you made it up. For some reason, I thought it was called something else. But now I don't remember what I thought it was called. All right, well, yeah, we started playing this card. obviously, some of them playing, like, 2 of them in the main deck. This one playing 2 in the sideboard. This deck playing, maxing out on Gideons, which was a little interesting. I thought that we'd see a little bit more Obnixilus from this deck. But we also saw a lot of them... go as far as splashing red for Crackling Doom and Colligan's Command, things like that, as well as Outpost Siege out of the board, and Radiant Flames out of the board. I'm actually a pretty big fan of the red version queue. I think that's really the direction that it needs to go. I don't see any reason to just stick with Abzan right now.
I think I'm agreeing with you, and I also think that you really need something like Outpost Siege to take the late game. We were talking about this before the cast. I really don't think that there's a whole lot of reason to play Abzan Control right now when you can play Abzan Aggro, just because I think the Abzan Aggro deck is much more powerful. Now that you don't have a big payoff spell like Elspeth, I really just don't think it's there. And I mean, obviously Gideon is amazing. I just think he works a lot better in an aggressive shell.
Sure. Yeah, I think that you can build your deck to be favored against that deck by going a little bit bigger and slower than it. So I think that's just reason enough, especially considering it was like so much of the metagame that I would assume that you could build this deck to beat that deck, which gives me reason to think that this deck will stay around. But I just don't see reason to just stick to 3 colors.
Yeah, well, certainly. Like, if you can find sweet cards, like, even playing mainboard Butcher of the Horde would be kind of sick, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Flyer would be pretty
cool. To make your Hangerback Walkers better than theirs, and, like, Kolaghan's Command to take out their Hangerback Walkers and, like, shoot down something else. Like, I think that this is a great way to go with this deck. And I just don't know what the point is of sticking to constraining yourself when your mana is actually a little bit better going further.
Yeah, I'm sure, like this gentleman, Bradley, probably thought that playing an extra color would just be too hard on the mana base, and that's what I would assume too, but with playtesting the format, it's just not the case. Like, playing a five-color deck, like, it is super easy to hit five colors by turn five.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing against Bradley's deck. I mean, this dude, he's had three main deck despise in there, so can't really complain about that. But yeah, Giltleaf Winnower saw more play today this weekend than I thought it would, seeing play in two of the top eight decks.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
But yeah, so honorable mention to Abzan Control. Coming in, we have a tie with 7 points. We should probably tell new listeners if they don't know how the points break down. So the way the points break down is first place is 6 points, second place is 5 points, third and fourth are 4 points, the rest of the top eight is 3 points, top 16 is 2 points, and then if available, top 32 is 1 point. So coming in tied with 7 points, we have Atarka Red and Bring to Light Control. Let's start with Atarka Red, Quentin. This deck got all of its points but one from winning the tournament.
Yeah, I assume that's because people just misbuilt their decks. They probably started out with the deck that I honestly had in my initial gauntlet that is just severely worse than this deck. This deck is playing Teemer Battle Rage plus Become Immense and Titan Strength for just a huge combo of damage, and usually trample damage.
Yep. Something very important to note too is I think we actually talked about it before rotation. You and I think we actually mentioned how we thought Titan Strength would be a big player in this deck, and then we totally didn't put it in our deck.
Well, and that's my fault. I didn't have much time, and I was just trying to get things done, so all I did was, like, go to Star City Articles and copy and paste lists and then get proxies made for them. So that's me being a little lazy. I'll take the blame for that.
Well, regardless, I do think this deck is still great. I think Abbot of Carol Keep, Atarka's Command, big things. The thing that this deck is notably missing is Whirling Outburst. I think that Atarka, that Abbot of Carol Keep and Whirling Outburst just didn't get along.
Yeah, that would make sense to me. The other notable exception here is the lack of... Oh, man. I'm not remembering the burn spell. The 3-cast burn spell that gets to be uncountable for 4 damage.
Exquisite Firecraft.
That's the one.
Yep. The deck was trying to go a little bit higher. The deck that won is obviously the one that we're talking about. Going a little bit more up top with things like Titan Strength, Teemer Battle Rage, and Become Immense. And the also awesome addition is something that when I talked about this card when I was playing that FNM a while back, the last FNM I played, where I played Chandra in that deck, and I was telling everybody how great it was. Not really surprised to see Chandra here, dude. It's quite the magic card.
Yeah, I've cast that a couple times in my testing with this deck too, and it's pretty rare that it doesn't kill somebody.
Yeah, if that thing flips, they die. They're dead.
It's a lot of damage. If that thing flips, that's 5 damage at least that turn. Like, that's just crazy.
Yep. Chandra, big game in this deck. What do you think, Q? Do you think this is the optimal build? I mean, the thing that sticks out to me that I just would never, ever do, and I would even recommend the listeners not do it, is 4 Zergo Bellstriker.
You know, I actually have really liked the 4 Zergo on the list. I think that it's pretty important with this deck to have a creature that can, you know, be 2 power with your pump spells, which would be Monastery, Swift Sphere, and Zergo. I've really thought the 4 Zergo has been great. I've only played, like, maybe 20 games of the deck, though, so maybe I'll get 3 in my hand and 2 to different... I can't finish the saying because I forgot how it goes, but maybe I'll be whistling a different tune. That's the one.
You're going to be tuning a different horn?
That's the one I was looking for.
I've never heard that.
I just made it up. That's how good it is.
Yeah. I don't hate 3 Zergo, but I would find, like, I would probably find room for Goblin Glory Chaser if you're looking for 2-powered 1-drops.
I would definitely be willing to try that out in the deck. I'm not sure if it's good, but it might be.
Yeah. I'm not sure either. It is interesting, though, that it seems insane with Team or Battle Rage. That card specifically, because it would have Menace.
Oh, yeah, that would be pretty sweet. I do like that.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thought. Obviously, can't really fault Brian, right? Like, I believe he's won a GP, won an Open now. Like, guy's obviously a great Magic player.
Very good, and I love his call. I think he knew coming into the tournament that Dromoka's Command was going to be the most heavily played removal spell, and his deck is just great against it.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you don't have big burn spells that just get blown out by Dromoka's Command, you're in good shape. Like, this, it's really surprising how well this deck actually does against green-white, which is usually a terrible matchup for mono-red.
For sure. Yeah, this deck looks great. But, like we said, tied with it, we have Bring to Light Control. Yeah, so Bring to Light Control is a 5-color control deck that casts Bring to Light. Quinn, we were going to give this card a 5. And what did we do? We gave it combo instead. You convinced me, too. You did it.
Well, I'm still not convinced that it's going to be insane. In standard, at least. Like, I still think it could be broken in modern. But maybe we were wrong to do that. Do you think it's just like a value card?
Dude, I mean, I've picked up mine. I've been playing this deck for, like, I played it all day today, played it all day Sunday. I played it in bed Saturday night. Like, I think that it's the direction that Abzan Control needs to go. Whether it needs Bring to Light, I'm not sure. Just 5-color Seadrino deck seems good. And Bring to Light just was a natural fit for that. There's going to be formats in this standard format where Bring to Light is not playable, because it's a 5-mana sorcery, and sometimes those just aren't playable. That being said, it's just too powerful of an effect not to be insane. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, the versatility that you get with it is insane. Obviously, as everybody saw in coverage, most every time you just get Seadrino, because that's what you do when you play a Seadrino deck. But, I mean, just having the versatility to grab a Crux of Fate or a Ruinous Path or an Ugin's Insight is just so good.
Yeah. I mean, it acts as a Seadrino when you're pulling, you know, trying to pull ahead, right? When you're in the movement to go forward. When you're catching up, it can be a ton of things. When you're at parity, it can be different things, including Seadrino. But Seadrino is the card that you're going to get when you're trying to push that incremental advantage that you've already gained through your insane 5-color spells. Can we just say that this deck would have come in probably a lot higher if Jerry hadn't made a misplay? Can we say that?
I think so, probably.
Yeah. So Jerry made a rare misplay. Jerry is like, first of all, he's like one of the actual nicest people I've ever had the chance of interacting with. Very nice guy. Quinn and I think he made a misplay. You know, it's possible that he knew something that we didn't. And but that being said, like he made it a very strange attack, and it probably cost him the match, and it actually probably would have knocked Otarka Red off of this list if he hadn't made that attack.
Yeah, it's hard to say. His opponent ended up dropping down a Thunderbreak Regent, which he could have killed with the Sultai Charm and gone to 1, so it gets another draw step there.
Well, I mean, even more than that, he could have cracked fetch lands earlier and not had the lands in his deck that he kept drawing.
That's also a good point.
And he would have been able to cast different spells from his graveyard with better mana, but he couldn't because he had fetch lands in play.
Right. Yeah, I was telling Spencer this when we were watching coverage. Generally, when I'm in that position with a Seadrino deck, is that I don't attack with my Seadrino unless I have another one in hand. Like, if you have another one in hand, you're just winning the race handily, right? You're
right.
Going to force your opponent to block the next turn. But Jerry had nothing, so I really think that the top of his deck was much better than his opponent's, so I think he should have just sat back and gone on defense.
Yeah, and it would have made him so he could cast that Soul Tide Charm earlier and you know, crack those fetch lands and dig himself out of that precarious situation.
Right. I mean, I'm not one to disagree with Jerry.
Neither am I, typically.
the guy is just so good, and he might still be just correct, but I still don't think that was the correct play.
Yeah, I mean, and Jerry Thompson, like, that guy is just an outstanding guy and, like, an outstanding Magic player, and we're obviously not taking anything away from the guy. The guy had one match loss, and the deck that he lost to, he beat in the Swiss. He beat the exact same guy in the Swiss, as well as another Tucker Red deck. So, with what I was watching and what I've seen from playing the deck, I'm not really worried about it's a Tucker Red matchup like others. I think that the deck, just having 8 Sage Runners in your deck, plus, like, post-board 3-mana Wraths is, like, that's going to win you a lot of games against Mono Red.
Yeah, Radiant Flames is still very good against this Mono Red deck. It's pretty rare that you won't be able to cast that card before you die.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the thing is there were just, I mean, the deck is, the thing that I like about this version of the deck, the Bring to Light version over the 5-color version that doesn't play Bring to Light. By the way, that deck also had, I believe, a top 16 or top 32, one of the two.
It was definitely up there.
Yeah. So there was also 5-color control without it. The thing that I like about the Bring to Light version is that I think there's just so many ways whether you can build a Bring to Light deck.
Oh, certainly. Like, you just have so many options.
Yeah, I actually spent Sunday while I was playing the deck in between games compiling a list of cards for Quentin that he could play in his Bring to Light deck.
Yeah, and in all reality, this is probably the deck that I'm going to land on for the Pro Tour because, A, it is just the sweetest deck I've ever seen.
It's the sweetest deck I've ever played. It has beaten out the other 5-color control deck I've played.
Well, and, like, it's just good. Like, it just feels good. You're playing Jace and Siege Reno. What else do you want in a standard deck?
And the thing is that you have options so many points in the game. You have important options. So it's also easy to misplay with the deck, which is something that's important to note for Jerry, that it's his first week playing the deck, and everybody's capable of making mistakes. And maybe he didn't. Maybe Quentin and I, like, that's the thing, is that the deck's so hard to play, Jerry could be like, you guys are stupid. Like, here's why you're supposed to attack here, and Quentin and I could just be dead wrong. That's how many lines there are with this deck.
Yeah, just tons. I mean, even just fetching your land base is very taxing. So I've definitely got my work cut out for me if I want to play this deck.
Yeah. Big fan of this deck. Esper Dragons comes in with 9 points. Q, I'm very surprised by this.
I am too. With my initial testing, I've thought that Esper Dragons has been quite bad.
That's, I mean, it's lost to, like, everything we've put it up against.
Yeah.
Like, actually everything. We have not found a good matchup for this deck.
I just must be, like, the worst Esper Dragons pilot on the planet, because I seriously just can't win a match.
You know something, though? This third place deck list looks really close to what we initially had with just a few additions.
Yeah, like, looks like Jeff is playing some horribly awry, which we weren't trying, but we had the two complete disregard, which I actually really liked.
Yeah, we liked the complete disregard. We had, I think, one under end in the deck, and he replaced his languishes that we had with those other ends.
Which I don't hate. Like, in a field full of Gideon, other end's probably just better than languish.
Yeah. So the deck definitely had better results than Quentin and I would have ever expected. This is the biggest surprise on this for me. Maybe you're playing it bad. I don't know. It just didn't have a single good matchup in testing so far.
I know. Like, I can't think of anything I'm doing to play the deck wrong. Like, man, I just cannot win with this deck. But one thing I can say about it is that I think that Jeskai Black is going to be very popular, and I expect Abzan Red to be very popular, and I just don't think you can beat a deck with Crackling Doom basically ever.
Yeah, and I expect more Crackling Doom from these Jeskai Black and Abzan Red decks. I think that those decks will become the standard for the way that those decks are built. And they're just two strategies that people already like. So I just don't see this. And I also just don't ever see this deck beating Bring to Light.
Yeah, I would think that Bring to Light is pretty good against it. I mean, just the fact that you're playing Jace is pretty good. You have a potent turn 2 threat. And then Infinite Siege Rhinos, like, that's...
Infinite Siege Rhinos, and sometimes, and, like, and you have 5 main deck Crux of Fate.
Right, right. Being able to tutor Crux whenever they tap out for a dragon is a huge game. Yeah. And you can play Disdainful Strokes. Like, Disdainful Stroke is just very good against Hesper Dragons.
Yeah, so I'm surprised by this, but, I mean, Q and I could definitely be missing something here.
Certainly. I mean, it's still powerful.
Whenever. Oh, yeah, it's still, like, just a deck of, like, really sweet and good cards.
Yeah, like, Salamgar Scorn is a very powerful card, Ojutai is a very powerful card, and you're going to win some matches with it.
I still think Ojutai is the best threat in Standard.
I would have trouble disagreeing with you.
Yeah, so that being said, like, sometimes you're just going to attack with Ojutai, and they're just going to be like, well, I can't actually kill that thing. Oh, well then you're going to die.
Yeah, that means you lose the game then.
So... next up, with 10 points, we have Abzan Aggro. This came, like I said, 10 points. This came out with 10 points with zero decks in the entire top 8.
Yeah, the Star City boys, Tom Ross, Todd Anderson, there was one more on the deck. I think BBD ended up playing the deck, too.
He did. Brad Nelson also played the deck. So, I would like to note something. This deck had terrible results. This deck had 24 decks in day 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Patrick Chapin had a breakdown, I believe, in his article today, and it showed that, it had the best day 2 percentage of any deck, and then it had the worst day 2 performance of any deck.
Oh, yeah, terrible results in day 2.
Steve Rubin was also playing the deck.
Yeah, I mean, is this deck great, or is it... Everybody was playing it, so it pushed it itself into day 2.
I'm not sure. I would assume that your Bring to Light matchup is pretty terrible, and it seems like that your Tarka Red matchup is pretty terrible. And, man, I also would assume that your Mantis Rider matchup is pretty terrible, and those are pretty top-performing decks right there.
So, in other words, you don't think this deck is good right now?
Well... I mean, it's hard to argue with the results.
The results suggest, we're not saying that this is true, the results suggest, by the numbers, that this deck was, what is the phrase? A self-fulfilling prophecy, where everyone said that the best deck going into this format was Abzan Aggro, so everybody played Abzan Aggro. So what happened is, Abzan Aggro was 24 decks in day 2. They fulfilled the prophecy of Abzan Aggro being good by everybody playing it. But it turned out that once it was in a field full of other decks that with competent players, it actually did really bad.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a lot of factors. It's possible that the blue splash was something it should have been interested in.
You know, I think that the thing that I noticed... in testing with this deck that a lot of people were doing that I think held the deck back a little bit once it got into day 2, I think that there was a deck building error because so many people were on White of the Night Orchid, and I just don't think that card is good in this format.
Yeah, I've been fairly unimpressed with Night of the White Orchid. I think a lot of the SCG dudes weren't playing that card though.
None of them were. They were all in the same 75, weren't they?
Pretty close.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure. I believe that somebody will figure out an Anafenza, Hangerback Walker, Gideon, Siege Rhino deck. Like, that's just going to happen.
Yeah, just those cards in the deck make it a tier 1 deck.
Yeah, like, that's something that somebody is going to figure out. Well, let's not joke ourselves. But I think that the deck pushed a little too hard. And if you're looking at results and you're looking at results, that's why the power rankings are important. The conversation is what's important, because sometimes the numbers never lie, but also sometimes they lie. Because everybody lies.
Yeah, very true.
That being said, though, still 24 decks in day 2, man.
I mean, yeah, it did well the first day. I'm not saying that I think this deck's bad by any stretch. Like, I mean, you're just playing a bunch of good cards and you're going to get wins because of that.
The next closest deck with 9 was Jeskai Black, which was the best performing deck at day 2, I believe. No. Bring to Light Control would have been the best performing deck.
Yeah, I think Jeskai was in second.
Yeah, Bring to Light Control had 100% of its decks in top 16.
That's kind of insane.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that as an aggro is going to be a contender in this format, but I would not put it the second best deck in the current format.
I would probably agree with you.
Yeah. But coming in at number one, we do have Jeskai. 9 of its 11 points coming from Jeskai Black. Honestly, let's be real here. There's just not a good answer in this format for Mantis Rider.
Yeah, not too many at instant speed. Man, I just forgot of the card, and we were just talking about the 3-drop in Esper Dragons.
Complete Disregard.
Complete Disregard is one of them. That's one of the reasons why I like that card right now. And then Sorcery Speed, Reeve's Soul. You've got Abzan Charm. I mean, that's not a very big list.
Yeah, Touch of the Void is 3 mana for... Oh, no, that's a sorcery.
That is a sorcery.
Yeah, so Fiery Impulse is, like, the only, like, cheaper than it instant speed answer to it. But it has to be turned on before it comes down.
Which is very difficult.
Right, and then if you're looking at the same mana cost, you have things like Crackling Doom or Abzan Charm.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think Mantis Rider is just great in this format. I also think that Jace is great in this format. So, yeah, this seems like a pretty decent deck to be piloting right now.
So would you say that you're all about Jace in this format?
I think I am all about Jace in this format.
I think so, too. The other card that I've been really impressed with in testing, by the way, actually just been, like, the sweetest card I've been playing with. Sweeter than Bring Delight is... Freaking Treasure Cruise in that Bring to Light deck. Yeah, I cast that thing for one every single time. And it's good. It's like, and you cast it for one, and then they're like, I have to counter this. And you're like, cool, Bring to Light. And they're like, oh, God.
Yeah, being able to play Treasure Cruise and Bring to Light in the same turn.
Yeah, it looks like Jerry Thompson cut his Treasure Cruise's 4 Disdainful Strokes for this tournament, which could be correct, like, in all honesty. But, yeah, that's something that I was thoroughly impressed with. The other card I was impressed with, it was really funny that I sent you the list. And I was like, when I saw this card on my list, I was like, we need to be playing this card. And then I think an hour and a half later, Jerry Thompson's decklist was spoiled and was released, and it had this card in it. And that was Clever Imposter.
Yeah, that seems pretty sweet. That's your fifth Siege Rhino on the board, right?
Yeah, in the main deck. You played it in the main deck.
Well, I was saying the fifth Rhino on the board.
Oh, on the board. Sure.
Also being able to copy Guiltleaf when
it was sweet. So do you think that this might be the only deck that has a good matchup against this Jeskai deck that in our top 5 decks?
It's possible. Atarka Red seemed like it was decent. Like, it's probably still pretty difficult to beat Jeskai.
I would think that it's still in Jeskai's favor. But that being said, like, the sideboard plan... of Brian seemed really good against them. Like, bringing in, like, Hangerback Walkers and Thunderbreak Region and Fiery Impulse is, like, actually seems like a reasonable plan against that deck.
Yeah, when they're trying to just one-for-one removal you and fly over, like, that does seem quite good.
Right. So he definitely had a plan for that deck in mind.
Yeah, I can't really think of any other deck that would, like, I think it tears up Esper Dragons pretty well.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good against Abzan Aggro like you think.
And then I still think that Abzan Control is a good matchup for Jeskai.
Yeah, I can't really decide. You know, the things that we saw a little bit that aren't on our list, I mean, we have quite a few deck lists. I mean, there's a whole top 64 for you if you want to look at it. Different decks would have been on this list. I mean, we just don't give points for a top 64. That's just not what we do. There's a lot of decks that cash. Like, there was a Mardu Midrange, a Naya Megamorph, you know, more Mardu Midrange, you know, things like the red-green landfall deck. I think somebody will figure that deck out for sure. That deck was impressive on screen.
Yeah, I mean, it can deal a ton of damage out of nowhere. Was that deck playing Team or Battle Rage as well?
I would assume that some lists were. The list that I'm looking at right now is not, but I mean, there's one. I think there was 3 in the top 64. So,
yeah, I could see Teamer Battle Rage being pretty sweet in that deck.
Yeah, the other deck that there's 3 Abzan Aggro decks that are playing the Megamorph combo in it. Do you think that that's the direction that Abzan Aggro needs to go? to kind of have a better shot in this format?
Well, I certainly think it helps you grind out mid-rangey decks with Siege Rhino in them. Sure. So, I mean, that big surprise, it seems like the metagame's revolving around Siege Rhino once again, so it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, let's go into our main topic. We talked about let's talk about the card of the week first, and then we'll get into our main topic. So let's talk about the card of the week, and that is Jace Viren's Prodigy. Quentin, why is Jace Viren's Prodigy the card of the week?
Well, I think that probably has something to do with it being $85 currently.
Yeah, it also might have something to do with the fact that it was absolutely insane in Jerry Thompson's deck as well as the Jeskai decks.
Yeah, which I believe we have a total of 16 copies of Jace in the top 8.
Do we actually?
I think so. So the Esper Dragons list that took third didn't play Jace. Well, hold on. Actually, I think he actually played him in the sideboards. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, he played 3 Jace in the sideboard. Jerry played 4 in the main deck. Clay played 2 in the main deck or 3 in the main deck? Oh, 4. He played 4 in the main deck. Okay.
So Jeskai player number 1 played 4. Jeskai player number 2 played 4 in the main. So we have 19 in the top 8.
Yeah, so that's a lot.
That is a lot of Jace, and I think there's good reason for that, because I think Jace is just very good.
Yeah, I think, did you include the 4 in the other, in Patrick's deck?
In
the second Esper Dragons deck?
Yep.
Yeah, so 19 in the top 8. This card, when it was spoiled, I thought was not very good. This is a card that I got wrong. I was like, well, the flip side of this card is insane, but you're, just not going to get there because it's just an O2. How are you ever going to flip this card? And the truth is that Wizards made our removal really bad, so it's really easy to flip.
Yeah. certainly the change in standard away from Bile Blight and Ultimate Price getting a lot worse now is a huge factor for Jace. I mean, just all your cheap instant speed removal is pretty much gone, and that makes Jace very good.
So, Quinn, we have a group. Well, I created a group that nobody uses, so it's not going to ever be in use, but it's called Helping QJ Win a Pro Tour. And one of my first posts in it was stat of the day. I played 13 matches, not one person was not playing Jace, Hangerback Walker, or Mono Red. My conclusion is that Wild Slash is the best card in Standard. You know what's funny? Is I don't know that there's a deck in this top 64 that's not playing Jace, Hangerback Walker, or Mono Red. There's obviously some. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it looks like the Abzan Control is one. But, I mean, you're not too far off, which is a sad thing.
That Abzan Control deck is not playing Hammerback Walker?
I didn't see the main board and sideboard.
Look at that. You made me look bad, Bradley.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, that's how good Jace is. Like, you might just be better off playing red for Wild Slash. Like, the card's insane. And you can play Wild Slash in your Jace deck because you can flash it back.
Yeah, being able to flashback Wild Slash is sweet, much like any other cheap removal spell.
Yeah. So how powerful is Jace in this format, do you think?
I think he's very good. I don't think that he's going to be the power level that a lot of people are saying, that he's the new Jace the Mind Sculptor. I don't think that's the case. I think he will still be very good, but I don't think he's going to be oppressive like Jace the Mind Sculptor was.
But you're still all about him?
I mean, I'm playing him. I'll tell you that.
I think that he's fantastic. I think he reminds me a lot of... I want to say that he's like a better Snapcaster Mage for Standard, but that seems crazy to say.
Yeah, I'm not... I mean, it depends on just what you're talking about. Obviously, Snapcaster Mage went awesome in a tempo deck, which Jace is just not a tempo card, really. I mean, it's more just like a value card. But Snapcaster Mage really just got you far ahead in, like, a damage race and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, I mean, I love this card.
I really liked him from the start. Like, I was praying that he was playable, and, man, I got my wish.
To be fair, though, you did have a whole, 11 months without a Jace in your deck.
It hurt. I definitely didn't feel right.
You know what's funny is that You've obviously played... I mean, we both did, right? We both played Jace the Mind Sculptor. We both played Jace Architect of Thought. Like, those cards were just sweet.
Yeah.
They were just sweet. They were really fun to play. They produced tons of card advantage. They made your opponent, have to play differently around them with unsummoning and giving them -1/-0 to their team. Like, they were just sweet magic cards. This Jace is... is different. He's really hard to play, and he rewards great play, and I like that a lot.
What I really like about this Jace is how he really smooths out your draws. I love that I have a 2-drop that is versatile and that it can eat some damage.
And I love a way to get those crappy hangerback walkers out of my hand.
Well, and it also allows you to play 4 Jace because you can get your extra Jaces out of your hand as well.
That's true. That's true. And sometimes you can put the second one in play, you know, cash the other one in for a spell, flip the other one. It's great. So that's,
oh, yeah. That's a fairly common play.
It's a good time. So Jace's card of the week. Let's talk about the training grounds, which is just new standard, man. Let's, like, get deep into this. And let's start with what deck we would play. I'm just going to read my deck list to the listeners.
Okay.
So I do have one change after today's playtesting. And that's the hangerback. Not the hangerback walker. There's no hangerback walker in it right now. I'm not sure if that's right. I might go back to 2. You can't decide. But I am 100% on Bring to Light control. I love blue-green control-style decks. And this one happens to play all of my favorite colors and then has to play white because he's ran as white.
Did you say the 5-color deck is playing all your favorite colors?
Yeah. Did you not
really?
Like... I thought it was really funny. Did you not think that was funny?
No, I think it's great.
Don't ruin my joke!
I'm sorry.
Stupid. So here's my current deck list. So I have 1 Clever Impostor, 1 Den Protector, 1 Dragonlord Ojutai. I tried this as a Dragonlord Slumgar for a minute and was like, oh man, I'd rather just have the Ojutai. But I could see playing Slumgar on the board. I have 1 Gilt Leaf Winnower. I have 4 Jace Vern Prodigy, 1 Nissa, 4 Seedreno, 4 Absent Charm, 1 Crackling Doom, 1 Slumgar's Command. Well, that's the sweetest card I've ever tutored for in my life, by the way.
Yeah, holy crap. It's going to pour out every time.
Yeah. 1 Sultai Charm, 1 Utter End. Do you remember when you tried to cast a spell against me and I instant speed cast Slumgar's Command against you? That was like the highlight of my day on Saturday. I don't know if you remember that, but it like made me feel so good.
I mean, I'm sure it killed me.
You were like, dig through time. I was like, Slumgar's Scorn, bounce your land. 1 Soul of the Charm, 1 Utter End. We have 4 Bring to Light, 1 Crux of Fate, 1 Languish, 2 Reef Soul. I tried these as multiple cards, and I actually just think Reef Soul is the best card. Quentin was right about this card. I was wrong. 1 Ruinous Path, 2 Treasure Cruise, and 1 Ugin's Insight. And then my sideboard right now is 1 Icefall Regent, 2 Disdainful Stroke, 1 Murderous Cut, 1 Obnixilus, 2 Duress, 2 Painful Truths, 4 Radiant Flames, 2 Self-Inflicted Wound. So right now, I would cut back that Den Protector. I really wanted a way to, like, make my graveyard part of my entire graveyard part of my deck. So I was like, Den Protector is just the best way to do that. But I think that it's just better than as the second Nissa, which is what I cut it for. I think that most of the time I've drawn it, I just wished it was a Nissa.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed Nissa. First of all, just because a turn 3 play to smooth out your mana. Like, just grabbing that fourth land is pretty huge when you're playing a Seedreno deck. I also think that having a few Nissa to tutor up with your Bring to Lights is pretty awesome, too. Because usually when you're casting Bring to Light, you're just going to flip Nissa that turn. Like, being able to tutor for a Planeswalker is pretty sweet with that card.
Yeah. And you would... I mean, the thing is you would probably pay 5 mana for the flip side of Nissa.
Yeah.
which is like, you're like, well, you're tutoring for a 3-mana card, but you're like, yeah, but I'm usually just going to flip it.
Right, well, I mean, you just get so much value. You get a land, and then you get a big creature and just start drawing cards every turn.
Yeah. So this is the list that I'm on currently. I've probably played 80 matches with this deck already. I've played so much with this deck right now.
I don't blame you. I definitely think it's my favorite deck currently.
Yeah. So, Q, what deck would you be playing?
Well, I mean, I think if I had to play a tournament tomorrow, I'd play a Bring to Light deck. I haven't tuned too many numbers in it yet. I've been, like I said, I've been playing a little bit of mono red.
Yeah, I definitely thought that sideboard plan and the main deck plan of Brian's was definitely worth trying out.
Certainly, yeah. I just wanted to get a few games with under my belt and see if it was a real deal, and it was. But, yeah, I mean, this deck's just too sweet not to play, like... The thing about Mono Red is it would be a good time, but playing this deck would be a great time. And, I mean, that's the most important thing, is to have fun at a Magic tournament. When you're playing a deck that I think is good, you know, I'm all around happy. So I think I would play this deck. I think I'm with you. Cutting the Slumgar for Ojutai seems correct to me.
Yeah, so I wanted to try it because Jerry did it, and I was like, and in our testing, Slumgar's been great. But it was like, and it is great, but the thing is like, you just have to naturally draw this one of in your tutor deck. And, like, Ojutai is just a brick wall too. It's not like he's any less of a brick wall.
Right, when you're not playing Dig Through Time, I think playing one of Slumgar is a lot less good.
Right, and you can draw it if you're playing, if you are playing, like, the Treasure Cruises and the Ugin's Inside and things like that. And I think that one of the things that enticed Jerry to cut his Treasure Cruises was the inclusion of Ugin's Insight into his list. He felt like that gave him room to play something like Disdainful Stroke in the main deck, which is very possibly correct. And that's the thing I like about this deck. I think there's so many ways to build it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is such an interesting deck. I really like Treasure Cruise, though, so I'd be surprised if cutting it's correct.
But how much of that is the fact that you and I just really like drawing cards?
I mean, probably a lot. The Sinful Stroke does seem pretty sweet in this format.
Yeah. That being said, so that's what we play. We'd both be on, no surprise, both of us would be on, I mean, Quentin loves control. I love sweet decks. We both love blue. We both love green. Why wouldn't we play a blue-green deck? Like,
yeah, I mean,
that's just, wow. That just fits both of our wheelhouses so much.
And this is just the sweetest Jace deck ever. Being able to flashback a Seedra.
It is. And, like, I have never enjoyed casting a 2-mana blue card so much in my entire life.
Yeah. Just having that early game threat is just so huge with decks like this.
And it's, like it's crazy because, like, there's so many times that they have to tap out and actually kill it. They're right. Like, that their turn 3 or turn 4 play is, like, something like, what is the name of that card? I'm having trouble this week on podcast naming cards. Ruinous Path. They're like, all right, I'm just going to, like, play my fourth land, Ruinous Path, your guy, go. And you're like, all right, well, all right, I'll play a Siege Rhino, or I'll tutor for a Siege Rhino. Or, like, I'll tutor for a Dragonlord Ojutai, and they're like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
I just wasted my Ruinous Path on your Jace. Now I'm going to die to this dragon.
Well, that's another reason why I just love Ojutai in this deck, is because, I mean, you're pretty offensive. Like, you want to kill people with Siege Rhinos, like, turn 6 or 7, right? So yeah. Having an Ojutai that can just slam in for 5 damage and give you some card advantage just seems a lot better than Slumgar to me.
Yeah, this deck is, like, I don't even know what to compare this deck to.
Yeah, something awesome would be a start.
Yeah, I mean,
I actually have been very impressed with Lumbering Falls in this deck, too. I think I'd probably just play 3 of those, like, Jerry's yeah. original list.
So my current land base is 2 Bloodstained Mire, 1 Canopy Vista, 1 Cinderglade, 4 Flooded Strand, 2 Forest, 1 Island, 3 Lumbering Falls, 1 Plains, 4 Polluted Delta, 1 Prairie Stream, 1 Smoldering Marsh, 1 Sunken Hollow, 1 Swamp, 1 Wooded, 1 Windswept Teeth, 3 Wooded Fit Hills. So what I had originally is I had what I had switched to was a 2-1 split. It's playing the black-white mainland as well. But it was just worse than a Lumbering Falls most of the time, actually.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed, too. I really like the 3 Lumbering Falls.
Yeah. So I went back to 3 Lumbering Falls. I went down to 2 Forests when I played when I cut down to 1 Nissa. But if I go back to 2 Nissa, I really do think this deck needs 3 Forests. I'm not sure. I could be wrong.
I haven't really liked the 3 Forest. I cut it back down to 2. You had changed it to 3 Forest with our proxy deck, and I mm-hmm. thought it was a little too much.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I cut it down to 2 after I cut the Nissa. I guess if you're just conscientious of your Forest, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty land-heavy with this deck anyway. Like, you're usually not playing a 27 land deck with Nissa. So, I mean, I think I've never really had a problem flipping her on turn 7.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I could see just 2 being okay if you, like, stay, if you just make it a mental note to yourself. So, obviously, we're really high on this deck, but let's talk about the format in general. Q, what did we learn about this format from this weekend?
Well, I mean, it's pretty aggressive. We've got Jeskai that's killing you fast. We've got Abzan Aggro killing fast. And then you'll see, like, some red-black aggros and stuff like that here and there. And then, of course, Tarka Red winning the tournament, which, I mean, it's to be expected. Especially in this format where people are playing five colors and haven't figured out their mana bases correctly yet.
Yeah. I think that this was the tournament that Mono Red was going to just win. The thing that I noticed about this format is that, like, there were just so many... Oh, I just found another Abzan aggro deck playing the Deathmist Raptor combo.
Oh, interesting. I also think that they were criminally underplaying Drana. I think Abzan aggro should be playing that card.
Yeah, I also think that. That one was playing both. That's interesting to me.
Drana has been, like, so good.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that stood out to me is, like, people just playing... I don't want to say bad lists, because, like, these people top 64 in SCG, and that's awesome. But, like, so many lists just seemed, like, untuned. And that's to be expected from a week one format.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, there's no way I would have built the right 75 for this tournament. Like, if I had gone into this tournament, the deck I would have played would have actually just been bad.
What do you think you would have played?
Probably an Eldrazi deck. I tested, so I had to stop myself from, like, the inappropriate things that I was thinking while playing this five-color deck. So I brewed a new Eldrazi deck that was a little bit better, I think fitted the format a little bit better, and I was playing that for the last couple hours before the podcast. And I was pretty happy with it. It's a four-color deck. It's just not playing black. I don't think there's a reason to play black right now in that deck. You get everything you need from the other four colors. And, yeah, I was really, really, really impressed with that six-mana Eldrazi, the 6/8 that, like, steals lands.
5/8.
Is it a 5/8? I don't
know. Yeah, Oblivion Sower.
Yeah, that card is the real deal. And that card is easily castable on turn 3 in this format, in case anyone is wondering. Or turn 4, sorry.
Yeah, turn 4. I've been pretty impressed with that guy, too. I think he's a lot better than people give it credit for.
Yeah. So, overall, pretty impressed with a few things in this format. I would have probably played an Eldrazi deck. It would have just been wrong. I mean, it would have been fine. Like, I think that I would have done reasonably well at a tournament like this with that deck, and that's fine, but I think that, like, what I learned about this format was that I expected shard colors to see more play, and I still think that there's room in this format for decks like Jund, like Bant, like Naya. I think the shards have room in this format to see play with, like, splashing Seat Rhino or splashing Mantis Rider or things like that. I think that's a real thing that can happen because I think the mana's better that way.
Yeah, I certainly could see that. Obviously the payoff in this format for those mid-range decks is Siege Rhino, but I think you're right that you could play off-color decks and just splash Siege Rhino. I definitely would like to see a deck that plays Obnix Zilis a little bit better because I think that's definitely lacking in this format. Man, that card I really think should see a lot more play.
Dude, today I clever impostered my opponent's Obnix Zilis after he cast it.
Can you do it to Planeswalker?
Yeah!
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Man, that card is sweet.
Yeah, so he played Obnix Zilis to kill my Siege Rhino. And it was like, clever imposter. And he was like, he like in chat was like, oh my gosh! It's like, this is so sweet. I did it twice today, actually, now that I think about it.
Man, that is awesome.
Yeah, and that card, Obnix Zilis is like, so sweet. Ugh.
Yeah, that card is so awesome. By the way, we get to play that in the board of our deck.
That's yeah. Yes, we do. I mean, that was game one, dude. I was playing it game one. It was sweet.
Sure. I mean, that's why Clever Impersonator is awesome.
Yeah. So I think that we learned that Siege Rhino is still good. We learned that Mantis Rider doesn't have a lot of things that kill it. What did we learn about Aspher Dragons, Quentin?
Well, I mean, it did well. I think that if you're playing Sweepers and Dragon Lord of Jutai in this format, you're bound to win some games.
Shout out to teamer players. There were two teamer decks in the top 64. I believe this is probably like the highest in a while.
Interesting. Were they both just like low to the ground Savage Knuckleblade decks?
I mean, obviously both of them. One of them actually is not playing Savage Knuckleblade. Interesting. One of them is, and one of them is not.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I believe that one of them. So one of them is an aggro deck that plays a bunch of morph creatures and Spencer's favorite card, Stubborn Denial. So that's something that is interesting to keep in mind, is that people were finding ways to build Teemer and have success this week.
Three Icy Blast.
Yeah, that was a card that Casey and I actually played at States last year with Teemer, where we took 9th and 10th.
Interesting.
We both were playing Icy Blast out of the board. Other interesting deck was Jeskai Green. It was a Jeskai Dragons deck with Dragon Lord Dromoka. Also, Blythe Punt for us that we're not playing Tragic Arrogance yet in our...
Yeah, that seems like a real good one to tutor up.
Yeah, so that's another interesting one. What do you think, Q? What did you learn? I obviously am going off here about tons of things that we're learning about this format, but...
Well, I think the most important thing that I learned is that removal just actually is as bad as we thought it was going to be. And I think that's why Brian DeMars was really able to spike this tournament, was that he was just playing this combo that pretty reliably goes off on, like, turn four, and if you don't have good removal, you're just going to die.
Yeah. One thing that I saw in play this weekend multiple times that I was not sure how impressed I was with it, but it was a card that I had thought about, was Skyrider Elf. What did you think about seeing that card in play, Q?
I don't remember the match. Let's see here. Wasn't it in the company deck?
I don't know. It can't be played in company.
Maybe it was the company matchup where I saw it.
It was I saw it in play as a 4-4 and a 3-3, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that seems solid. I would imagine that just playing Mantis Rider is better. But
yeah, the thing is like, if you're doing something like Teemer, you could play that as a 3-3 against Mantis Rider or a 4-4 against Mantis Rider, and then you can even play it as a 4-4 to keep up Stubborn Denial. So that's an interesting thought with it. If you're playing Teemers with the splash color, I'm very interested in a lot of different cards that I saw in play, because there was like things like Drana, like that card's great and was probably underplayed this weekend. What other things, Q? What else did you feel while watching, or were you impressed with something and like, oh, I should try that for the Pro Tour?
Well, I mean, there's certainly plenty of decks I felt like that about. I honestly thought that Woodland Wanderer didn't show up when I thought it definitely would. That's what it's called, right? Woodland Wanderer?
That's a magical card.
I think that card is very powerful. It looks like it was in the 5-color company deck.
The one that Kent played had it, right?
Kent Ketter may have been playing that card. He was.
No, he was not playing it. But yeah, it was in the 4-color company deck. You know, the card that I was way more impressed than I ever would have given it credit for was that 6-drop that we were making fun of Spencer for not knowing the name of earlier, the Green Warden of Murasa. That card was impressive in play.
Did it look good?
Dude, every time somebody cast that, I was like, well, that was, like, the best Den Protector of all time. That thing killed their Sea Dragon and got them 2 cards. That's powerful.
Yeah, I mean, if it sticks, like, man, that is a lot of card advantage.
Yeah, I think that fits. It fits a similar build to Elspeth, but it's just, like, obviously not as format warping. But, man, that card was the one that I thought was really powerful. So what do we expect to change from this? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that's possible. It's a decent pay off card, and it could replace Elspeth.
Yeah, obviously doesn't, like, do the play, like, it doesn't have the same thing, right? Because Elspeth is, like, play it, and then, like, your opponent has to, like, warp their entire game around being that Elspeth. And it's possible that this is that powerful, but it doesn't do it, it's not going to do it in the same way, right? Like, you're not blanking their entire board by playing Elspeth.
Yeah, certainly not. Like, Green Warden just doesn't stabilize your board like Elspeth does. What I can say about it, though, is it's a lot better 6-drop against control decks than Elspeth was.
Sure. So what do you expect to change, Q?
What do I expect to change? Well, I think that people will adapt, because I do think that this Ataka Red deck is beatable. Like Spencer's saying, I think if you just play Radiant Flames in your main board, you'd have a pretty good matchup against it. So I could see that happening. When you do stuff like that to your deck, then Esper Dragons looks a little bit better.
Sure.
So I guess I could see Esper Dragons doing a little bit better next week for that reason. But then again, Crackling Doom is probably going to get more popular, so that takes it down a peg as well.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I expect is more Crackling Doom. Whether it's Abzan Control with red or Jeskai with black, I think that that's like something that we just can expect to start seeing.
Right. And the nice thing about Crackling Doom is that it's even pretty good against Ataka Red if they go for their combo. It's just like, well, that does not work out for you.
Yeah, they're like, all right, well, you're like, yeah. it's just something that, and it's also just good against them if they're like all trying to bring in these Thunderbreak Regents.
Yeah, certainly Crackling Doom is great against Thunderbreak Regent.
Right. Okay, so I want to talk about something, and because everybody has started these Hangerback Walker jokes on me, and everybody thinks it's super funny to tag me in every post about Hangerback Walker, it's fine, you know? I get tagged on with Hangerback Walker, Beyonce, The Rock, and Taylor Swift, so it's whatever.
Exclusive club.
But I want to talk about Hangerback Walker because I think it went down a peg this week, and I'm really happy about it. I think that Hangerback Walker is the Goblin Rabble Master of this format. It's the card that going into the last format, at the end of it, everybody was like, oh my gosh, we can't beat this card, let's all just play it. Everybody's playing it, and that was the same thing Goblin Rabble Master was doing. Do you remember that? Everyone was playing it. If you're building a deck, you're building it with Goblin Rabble Master, around Goblin Master, or Goblin Rabble Master, or to beat Goblin Rabble Master. And Goblin Rabble Master defined the next format. And I think that Hangerback Walker can do that, and I think the same thing that happened to Goblin Rabble Master can happen to Hangerback Walker. I think that people will build their decks around beating or playing Hangerback Walker, and it will actually just push it out of the format in a similar way to Goblin Rabble Master.
That is very possible. I'm not sure if I really see, like, the cards that would really do that. I mean, I guess people playing, like, a bunch of Utterins and Complete Disregard is pretty good against them.
Yeah, Void, the 3-mana red spell kills it, exiles it. Just playing more Wild Slashes is good against it. I mean, it's pretty easy to knock a card out of a format if that's your goal. And I think that that's how good Hangerback Walker is. I think the card is actually powerful enough that it will be so good that people just take it out.
Just not be willing to lose to it.
Right, yeah, and that's how good Goblin Rabble Master was. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I mean, you definitely had to build your deck. It's like, okay, can I beat Goblin Rabble Master? Because that's step one.
And I think that that's the step one of this format right now. Like, we even tried playing it in Esper Dragons. We played it in Bring to Light. We played it in aggressive red decks. We played it in Abzan Aggro. All the Abzan Aggro decks are playing it. Some of the Jeskai decks have played it. Some of the Abzan Control decks have played it. That's every deck in our power rankings. And that's a card that lends itself to being pushed out. Like, because the thing is that it's not Stoneforge Mystic. It's not Jace the Mind Sculptor. It's not Delver of Secrets. It's not Primeval Titan. This is not a card that you can't. It, like, there's not good cards against it. They've printed tools to beat this card. I mean, I think that's been interesting about things like Rabble Master is that, like, when we were sitting here a year ago today, we were saying, like, well, I can't beat the Goblin Rabble Master with this deck, so I'm not going to play it. And that's kind of how I feel about Hangerback Walker.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I also think that when we get our next set of Magic cards that Wizards will probably end up giving us some cheap removal, and probably some that will be good against Hangerback Walker too.
Yeah, I mean, they printed two cards that directly deal with it in this last set.
Right, I mean, having them cost three is a little steep, so I assume that will change with what they print.
Sure.
But I think you're right. I think you're right. I really don't think it's going to be the end-all be-all of the format. It is now. It is now. You're right. And I think we do have the tools to fight it.
So So with that being said, what cards outside of Hangerback Walker do you expect to continue to see copious amounts of play?
Well, I certainly think the Jace will.
Okay. All about that Jace.
Certainly think the Siege Rhino will.
Okay.
Den Protector. I actually, we haven't even really talked about the green-white deck, and I was actually pretty impressed with that deck.
Yeah, I think that I'm not really surprised. Like, I think that it was too much. It's just too powerful of a. It's like a two card combo in this format, right? It's obviously like not a kill you at on the spot combo, but like Deathmish Raptor Den Protector is just like too good not to have seen play.
Certainly.
And you know whether it's white green that does it. I mean, we saw Abzan aggro decks, Abzan control decks, this deck, Teemer deck. There were just tons of decks doing this.
I certainly think that will continue because they're just a powerful group of cards.
Yeah.
I think that Gideon will probably see more play as the format goes on. Cause we don't have too many Gideon in the top eight, right? We've got...
There was two decks with four up Gideons in the top eight. I was really surprised by that.
Yeah, I was expecting more, weren't you?
No. I've been really? So not impressed with that card.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was like 10 times worse than I thought it was going to be.
Wow, yeah, I've been nothing but impressed with that card.
Really? What matchups have you liked it in?
Basically all of them. Like, I think it's a really potent threat against Esper Dragons. I think it's...
I felt like it was the worst card in my deck other than White of the Night Orchid against that deck.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I agree with that. Like, I definitely love that you just being able to churn out threats, and that if it resolves, in order to deal with it, they have to cast an instant speed removal spell or attack it with a dragon.
Sure.
I also love that it swings through an Ojutai.
Okay. Sure. And, you know, the thing is that the games where I had it in my hand against you in testing, it felt stranded in my hand because, like, I was like, well, if I play this, it's just going to die to that Ojutai.
That's definitely something. Like, the fact that it dies to Ojutai is something. But them not getting a trigger, like, I mean, that's kind of worth something. That leaves their Ojutai pretty vulnerable, and they didn't get any card advantage out of it.
Sure, that's definitely something to think about. Yeah, I expect less Gideon, so, and you expect more, so that's an interesting difference there. What other cards do you expect to see more play, Q?
Wingmate Rock seems pretty solid in this format.
Yeah, I expect more Wingmate Rock. I also expect more Ultimate Price.
Let's see here. So Ultimate Price is definitely sweet against a Tarkared. That's one of the cards that you really want against them.
Yeah, and Jace.
And Jace. That is a fact.
Yeah, in fact, the Abzan control list had pretty good answers to Jace and Hangerback Walker and Mono Red by playing three Despise and two Ultimate Price in his main deck. I think that was a big boon for his deck. Like, when I look at this Abzan control deck with Bradley's, like, if I was going to build this deck, I would also be playing Despise and Ultimate Price because I want early interaction with my opponent, and Despise is good against Siege Rhino, Jace, Mono Red, Mantis Rider. Like, it's just good against every deck right now because every deck is playing creatures. And then Ultimate Price, obviously not as good against the Siege Rhino decks, but it does kill things like Nissa and Jace before they flip.
That's very true. It can also hit, like, Drana if people start playing that card.
Right. So I expect more Ultimate Price, personally. And I think that Despise is a great fit in this format.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with Despise as well.
What cards do you expect to not continue to see play?
Cards do I expect to not continue to see play? Interesting. Well, I think an easy one is this, what's the card called? The blue card that all the Abzan aggro players were playing to steal creatures.
Oh, I don't know the name of that card either.
Exert Influence?
Yeah, you don't think that's going to stick around?
I don't think so. That seems way too cute to me.
Okay. just calling out the CG guys on this podcast.
Well, I'm not saying that they're dumb. Like, it was, I mean, obviously they did well. They had a couple people in the top 32. Like,
what did you think of Brad Nelson's cards to play and cards not to play article?
I Well, let's pull it up right now.
Yeah.
I can't recall it perfectly, so...
So
keep going, I'll pull it up.
Yeah, there were some interesting things that he put on here. He said that he would play Stasis Snare and Silk Wrap, and then, but also at the same time, said he would play Dromoka's Command.
So I actually think that that is a decent point. And the cool thing is that with what you're talking about with Hangerback Walker being so popular, is that you can nail those guys with those cards.
Yeah.
And then
thanks for stealing my thunder. I wanted to explain why he said
I'm
this.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that's where you're going with that.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
No. That's what I was going to say, is that it exiles it, and then, of course, it just doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Unless you have a Gideon Emblem in play.
Yeah. So, oh, goodness. I think that it is important that Wizards has given us so many exile tools against Hangerback Walker. And I do think that there is... And even Dromoka's Command has been pretty good for me against Hangerback Walkers in the mirror. And that's the thing, is I think that Wizards has given us tools to beat that card. And I think that, like, his article was very interesting in, like, he included things like Despise and Murderous Cut, these cheap interactive spells in this format. Like, and he included Roast, Fiery Impulse, Reeve Soul. He just... Basically, all of the three mana or less removal.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Usually those cards are pretty sweet.
Yeah. So, Q, one deck that I expected to see that I did not see was actually a White Weenie.
Really?
Yeah, I think that deck has gotten so many cards over the last 2 years.
Were you expecting, like, an ally theme?
No, just, like, White Weenie beatdown.
Well, we're going to see it at the Pro Tour, and it'll be in the hands of Craig Twesco, so don't worry.
I mean, if it's playable, he'll play it, but, like,
he'll play it regardless.
But, yeah, that's one that I expected to see that I didn't see. Do you like what you've seen from this format? Is it more or less the same? What do you think?
No, I think that Rotation has caused a pretty sweet shakeup. Like, I definitely like that there was no Abzan aggro in the top 8. That's definitely a good sign. We've got some new archetypes in the first tournament. So, I mean, I'm very happy with how standard is going right now.
Yeah. There are cards that I would like to see more play. I'd like to see Obnixilis. I'd like to see somebody figure out the Eldrazi deck. There are so many good ramp spells in this format. You can consistently play a 6-mana spell on turn 4. Like, just every turn, every game. Like, that is something you can do in this format. And that is enough for me to believe, I mean, that's Titan range, right? Like, that's when we were playing Titans and it was insane.
That's when you get there.
Right. And so I think that that's something that I'd like to see. I actually don't know that even that would get me off of playing this 5-color deck. I don't know that anything could get me off of playing a deck with a sweet blue-green card in it. Like, this deck is a Siege Rhino Jace Brain Delight deck, and those... I mean, it's just like a big fat green creature, a sweet blue Planeswalker, and a sweet blue-green spell. I could play Sultai Charm. Like, I'm just in heaven with this deck.
You forgot Abzan Charm, which is way better than Sultai Charm.
In standard, but not a better card.
Oh no, it might be a better card.
Dude, it's not a better card. Sultai Charm is like an instant speed Maelstrom Pulse.
What?
Have you read that card?
I mean, I have.
That card is like an instant... It kills everything.
I mean, it's sweet. I'll give you that.
Yeah. The only reason Sultai Charm doesn't see play is because Siege Rhino is a card.
I mean, that might be true.
Yeah, so... So that's kind of like where I'm at. There are... Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. I was looking at Brad's article, and I saw Seder Wayfinder, one of these lists, and I was like, well, that card's not legal. Also, neither is Ashiok. Also, neither is Gideon. Also, neither is Kiora. Also, neither is Pyle. Oh, this is just an old list. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I see what I was
But Q, what card? So you think Den Protector, you thought that saw less play than you thought it would?
Yeah. I mean, I think so.
Yeah. I think what isn't the one of these decks? Let's see here. Not this one. Kent Ketter's deck is so interesting.
It is a strange deck.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, Joe Lissette's version of the deck. This version of the deck. Oh my gosh. These decks are so sweet, dude.
Just infinite things you can do with them.
Yeah. Fathom Feeder, what do you think of this card? Do you think this card is going to it's gonna happen for you, Q?
Maybe. I mean, it saw some play. I think I saw it in another list somewhere in the top 64, but I just don't think you should be playing that over.
All right, so let's say that our listeners have $500, $600 to drop on a deck. What deck should they be playing tomorrow?
What deck should you be playing tomorrow? Well, I'd probably recommend Jeskai Black.
Yeah.
I mean, the deck's going to be fairly easy to build. Probably a lot easier to pilot than the five-color Bring to Light deck. And it's very powerful. I think it's pretty well positioned right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would, if you're like looking to, like, if you're familiar with either Jeskai or Abzan, I would recommend either Jeskai Black or Abzan Red. I think those are the decks that, like, have real potential to, like, shake up the format a little bit. I also think that Jeskai Charm is, like, super underrated in this format, and that's a card that I just think should see more play.
Yeah, Jeskai Charm's pretty sweet against Hangerback Walker.
Hangerback Walker puts Jace on top of their deck when they try and flip it. Adam Vernier, though, dude. Two Dragon Master Outcast.
The card seems like it did work.
Dragon, dude, that card put in tons of work.
We didn't give it playable either, I don't think.
We did not put it up. It didn't see play last time.
I mean, kind of what we're talking about, removal being a little bit worse, maybe it just got better.
Maybe it did. Q, what do you think, man? You just love it? You love the format?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. I'm excited that I get to play it at a Pro Tour.
Yeah. Pretty sweet format. Yeah, dude, I'm super excited for you. Super excited for Alex. Super excited for the Pro Tour. Just super excited overall, man. Well, let's wrap this up, dude. So, yeah, Quinn and I think we're kind of recommending that you play a deck that you're familiar with. If you're going to States and you have a sweet deck list, don't hesitate to jam it. Like, this is a cool format where a lot of things are possible. And you could have figured something out that, I mean, this is just the first tournament of the week, or of the format, and this is not the end-all, be-all. This tournament does not make the format. This is the beginning. This is when people play tons of mono-red, they play tons of Abzan aggro, because that was the best deck from the year before. I mean, that's just something that's going to happen, and don't let that be a deterrent from you from playing the things that you want to play.
Yeah, certainly not. I still think this metagame is wide open.
Yeah. So let's talk about a few things really quick. Q, our MTGO clan.
Yeah, we have a clan on MTGO. If you're interested in joining up and jamming some games with some fellow fans, go ahead and message me. My name is Earthstripe. That's URTHSTRYPE.
You can also message me, especially once Battle for Zendikar is on Moto. I'll be drafting again every Monday. Spencer13Dev on Moto. And I can also add you to the clan. Don't forget to check out our sponsor, Oasis Games. Great place to buy Magic cards. Just the best place to buy Magic cards, right, Quentin?
Absolutely. Oasis Games is the place I always shop.
Yep. Don't forget to check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/CCMTG to become a patron and just get awesome rewards. And to really help support what we hope is a great podcast for you guys. If you guys have any feedback for us, always let us know. It means the world to us when people can come up to us and let us know how they feel about the podcast, or, you know, what something we've done to help you improve, or something that we could do, or something that we're not doing, or something we're doing wrong. I mean, we accept all kinds of feedback. We get mail, you know, fan mail, quote unquote, from listeners giving us suggestions, and we take those suggestions seriously and we apply them. We believe that you guys are the reason that we do this podcast. We're never going to tell you that you're wrong. I mean, you saw a few weeks ago a very nice gentleman gave us some feedback, and we take it seriously, even if it's coming from a kind of a butthead and it's not being presented in the best way. We always take it. It doesn't matter if like there's something that Quentin and I believe is that there's truth in all things that people say, right? Even the things that, like, even when people are trying to be mean to you, they're doing it with a partially true thing, right, Quentin? Like,
well, certainly, and like it's you know, best to try and turn it into a good thing, right? Like, if somebody's being negative, try and change that energy into positive and you know, there's always something to learn.
Exactly. So don't be afraid to give us feedback. Like, we're going to listen to you. It's something that we will internalize. We're never going to tell you you're dumb or that your opinion doesn't matter. We're always there for you as the host of this podcast. So, and the Patreon is a great way to do that and to support us in doing that. Where can people find you, Quentin?
Find me on Facebook. My name, just as it's spelled, Quentin Pierce. On Twitter, at Quentin Pierce, just like it's spelled. And then on Magic Online, my name is Urstripe. That's Urthstripe.
You can find me on Facebook, Spencer Stephen Hallen. You can find me on Twitter, Spencer13H. You can find me on Reddit at Spencer13H if I'm ever posting for some strange reason. You can find me on Magic Online, like I said, at Spencer13Dev. And you can find me on Constructed Criticism and Limited Time Only. You can find the podcast at CCMTG. We now are on iTunes under the name Constructed Criticism, not Oasis Games, not MTGCast. Because of the new website, you can go on iTunes, Constructed Criticism, search it up, leave us a review, guys. Let us know how we're doing and let the world know so that we can move up the ranks of the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever it is that you are listening to this podcast on. Please let us know how we're doing for you. Don't forget to check out the podcast at constructivecriticism.com, where you can also watch the restream, watch our stream again. We have a stream every week. Hugh, why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, we're doing a stream every week. We're doing it at a little strange time right now. We've been doing Sunday modern streams because Standard isn't online right now. So, yeah, we got to switch it up. But usually that's going to be on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock once we have Standard cards.
Sure.
I've been flirting with the idea of just streaming every Sunday. I mean, it may not be every Sunday because, you know, sometimes I got family stuff or whatever to do. But I definitely like to start streaming a little bit more.
Yeah.
And
I enjoy it. As we saw from this week, you know, there are times where I'll be able to join. There are times where I won't. You know, this week was a good week for me to come on. And I mean, I believe I only had to stop once.
Yeah, no, it wasn't bad at all this week for you.
Yeah. So I can join sometimes on Sunday. Sometimes I can't. But yeah, overall, I like the idea of more streams for you guys. But yeah, check it out. Twitch.tv/CCMTG.
Yeah. Please just bear with me. I found it just very difficult to stream. It's difficult to keep up a conversation with a bunch of people in chat and then, like, with Spencer and play at the same time. For instance, this week, made a wonderful play of killing my opponent's Pestermite while they were at 2 with a Lightning Bolt. So, yeah, I've been just playing.
Did you?
Yes.
Was I with you?
Yeah.
Did we do that?
We did. It was great.
That's terrible.
Uh-huh.
What is wrong with us?
No. I mean, it's me. I'm the one playing. It's my fault. It is just very difficult to stream and play Magic well. So I am still learning. I promise I will get better, and I'll get there. But I definitely have been doing my fair share of punts on stream. But that's okay. That's why we're doing it. We're there to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Q, what did you think of the new website, man? Why don't we talk about it really quick? We didn't really get to talk about it last week, so let's just talk really quick about the new website. Have you seen some of the features? What's going on there, man?
I've checked it out a little bit. I really like that we have a live feed of hashtag Would That Be Good.
Isn't that sweet?
That is sweet.
Yeah.
The layout looks really good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's a few things that I wanted to touch on. So for the podcasts, you can either click the word podcasts to go to a podcast feed of all of Limited Time Only and all of Constructed Criticism, or you can go to the individual one. The other thing is, don't forget you can check out Oasis Games. You know, if you're trying to find Oasis Games site, you can't find it for whatever reason, just click Oasis Games button on our site. It will take you right there. And check out the site, guys. Like, we aren't able to bring you... I mean, we're a whole new hosting situation, so we're trying to figure it out the best way to bring you guys everything you want. And, you know, I think that the things like the hashtag Would That Be Good feed being there for those who aren't Twitter users so they can read along with what the conversation is great. Don't forget, though, if you aren't on Twitter, you can join our Facebook group, right, Quentin?
Certainly, yeah. We've created a new Facebook group for people to chat about, you know, playing Magic. Just go ahead and ask for us to approve you to join the group, and you can get in on the conversation.
Yeah, it's Constructive Criticism Facebook group on Facebook, and yeah, just come join, guys. Like, tons of conversations going on, people talking about all kinds of stuff from their brews all the way to financial stuff to kind of like just interacting with us. Whatever you guys want to do on there, like, it's a great place to just interact with more of the community. It's pretty new. There's not very many members compared to how many listeners there are, but hopefully we can get that up for you guys, and we can be like a real great place to get better at Magic. Don't forget to check out the other podcast, Limited Time Only. Every week, the same time as Constructor Criticism. And get better at Limited Magic, guys. Magic is not just about Standard. You know, we talk about Legacy on Modern on this podcast. We got a little bit of a good Legacy conversation this week. I actually would love to discuss Legacy in like 2 or 3 weeks and, again, maybe do some power rankings on post-bannings. Because I love Legacy. But, yeah, just come join the group. Come check out the other podcast. There's tons of stuff going on, guys. Hashtag would that be good. What is that, Quentin?
Hashtag would that be good is our Twitter outreach program. If you have a question about Magic or life in general, go ahead and send it to Twitter with hashtag would that be good. One of us or one of our fans will answer it for you.
All right, so it is the 5th. That means we go back all the way back to September 29th.
29th, that is right.
So we have set review Battle for Zendikar on CCMTG is up at constructcriticism.com. Yeah. Check it out, guys. If you guys didn't get to listen to the set review, you still can. Thanks to Spencer13H for giving me a Bloodstained Mire. It completed my set for Modern Burn. Hashtag, would that be good? Well, thank you, Paul, for just being an awesome listener. We really appreciate you, man.
Yeah, obviously, Paul on hashtag, would that be good, and interacting with us on Twitter, so well-deserved.
Also, for those who don't know, I'm, like, just the coolest guy in the world. Let's be real here. No, I, for in all honesty, like, Paul is just somebody that I felt like, you know, he's just been a fan of ours for so long, and I just want to give back to people like that, like people who pimp the podcast to their friends and things like that. It's just, it means the world to me that somebody like Paul would be out there pushing the podcast for us and believing in what we're doing, and I'm always going to give back to somebody who helps me, right? Like, it's just cool to watch. So, that was a well-deserved Bloodstained Mire, dude. You don't need to thank me for it. Do you want to be a part of the CCMTG conversation and join our Facebook group? We already talked about that.
Covered that one.
Yep. Rune, Ghost, Hedron Crab, Retreat to Gorno for an infinite nil combo.
Rune, Ghost. All right, I got to look this one up.
It's the white card from Worldwake.
I don't remember that one. Let's see if I remember the picture. I don't even remember that picture. All right, so we've got one colorless and a white for a 1-1. Tap a white and tap Rune Ghost, exile target land you control, then return it to the battlefield under your control. Yeah, that seems like it's a combo.
It's a bit of a combo, you see.
Combo.
Yeah. Don't think this is good.
What are you talking about? It's turn 1, turn 2, turn 3, turn 4 combo. Like, you're set.
It's just a turn 3 combo, right? No, because you have to have an untapped white source.
Well, yeah, you have to go off. Like, I mean, if you're ramping, I guess it could be earlier, but...
Well, you don't have time to ramp, you have a Hedron Crab. I mean, I guess if you play a Birds of Paradise, you can...
Right. then you're set, dude. That's the sweetest combo ever, dude.
I can't believe I just said that. I just put that idea out there into the internet.
Being able to kill someone with a Hedron Crab has been my dream.
Jason just made my day, dude. He's just asking this to be funny, right? He's not serious.
I don't know. Maybe.
Jason, I hope you're not serious. If you need help, you know, just message me on Facebook. We can talk about, like, 3-card combos we shouldn't be trying.
Hey, dude, I say go for it. This combo's sweet.
And then if you want to talk to somebody else who doesn't want to talk you off the ledge, message Quentin on Facebook. No, but at the same time, the important thing about stuff like this is, with all joking aside, is it's important to see things like this and keep an open mind about them. It's a legitimate thing that you should keep an open mind about.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Like, I mean, if you don't, then who would ever created Splinter Twin?
Right, exactly. Like, whoever would have thought that a 4-mana enchantment, like, would be playable, right? It's things like this that make things like that happen. So, like, good job keeping an open mind, Jason. But also, don't do that. just traded my last semester's mythology textbook for most of an Abzan aggro deck.
Yeah.
Hashtag college grind, hashtag would that be good. This is the greatest tweet with hashtag would that be good ever.
This is a good one. Yeah, I mean, wow. College books are quite expensive. I would much rather play Magic than read a college book, too, so.
Yeah. There's actually more about this tweet coming. new goal or idea for the set review. Give a PDF form of our rankings. So, we have it in a Google Doc. And neither Quentin or I are savvy enough to do that and to know how to convert that to a PDF. I'm sure we could Google that. Let me Google that for you. Somebody let me Google that in a tweet to Quentin and I about how to do that, and then we'll do it.
Yeah, I'm sure it wouldn't be that hard.
Just sure.
We'd have to know how to do it.
Returning to a headset near you at LTGO is coming back new and improved. Hashtag, would that be good? Hashtag, what's the pick? Oh my gosh, you got to talk about hashtag, what's the pick on this podcast. So, hashtag, what's the pick? What's the pick is the hashtag for limited time only. Like hashtag, would that be good? We'll be at the end of the podcast talking about the hashtag, what's the pick? There are a few rules that I'd like to cover really quick. I just want to talk about this. Is this okay, Q?
Of course.
So, hashtag what's the pick is the official hashtag of the limited time only podcast. So the way that it works is you can tweet a picture of the booster pack that you're picking from. It can be in, you know, in paper, as long as we can see all the cards, things like that, on Moto, on what's the other one called? What's the one that you can draft on? It's the Cockatrice version that you can draft on. I don't remember
what it's called.
Not Magic Workstation. What's the other one?
Magic Workshop? Is that what it's called?
No. Gosh darn it. Now I'm mad. I blame you.
My bad.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. X-Mage. Yeah, or on your X-Mage draft, you know, whatever it is that you're drafting from. You know, we just have to be able to see it. So then the rules from there on are it has to be in your first three picks, and then we have to be able to see your previous two picks. And then it has to be the current draft format or a current Moto format, so like Cube or a Flashback draft, whatever they're doing. And then you can tweet that picture, and then Drew and I will go over the pick and talk about what we would do. So just another way to increase conversation about Magic and increase, you know, our way at improving at Magic. So it's a great tool to utilize if you need to use it. I think we need a hashtag, would that be good, top five, and this comes in at number one. This is talking about Joel's just traded my textbook for Magic cards. I agree, Kevin. I thought that was, like, one of the greatest hashtags, would that be good, of all time.
Yeah, it's certainly got to be up there.
Like, I'm trying to think of what competes with it. I mean, I think there was one about boobs once. So that's...
It's pretty hard to beat that.
So that one's great, obviously, if you're into that. But, like, trading your textbook for Magic cards is just value, right? You were never getting any more value out of that textbook. Like, so trading it for Magic cards seems great.
Yeah, sticking it to the man.
Yeah.
Like, they're just way too overpriced, so buy some overpriced Magic cards.
Yeah. Trade in your overpriced textbooks for overpriced Magic cards.
That's just part of life.
I think I might try to play Colorless Ramp tomorrow. So Ben was on our Facebook group talking about this Colorless Ramp deck. And I was talking to you about it like a while ago, Q, or like on the – I might have even talked about it on the podcast where I talked about like how there were enough Colorless cards to actually just build a Colorless deck in this format.
Yeah, I do remember talking a little bit about that.
Yeah, and then I believe that Ben went ahead and he brewed one up. So if you played this weekend, like – let us know how you did, Ben. At CCMTG, Lumbering Falls placing Hinterland Harbor in Tarmotwin. Hashtag would that be good. I think it's too much to activate, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think it's pretty important for Hinterland Harbor to enter the battlefield untapped in that deck, too. So I don't think that's a thing. I'm pretty sure that these new man lands are just not playable in Modern.
So far, I agree with you, but it is something to keep your eye on.
Certainly.
We said the same thing about temples, and they saw Modern play.
That's true.
Next up we have at Carnophage. Good luck, man. You are one of the original hashtag would that be good crowd. I always think of you when I think of our original fans. This is at Joshua Carr. So, Josh, if you're listening, man, welcome back to Magic, dude. I'm happy to hear you're coming back to the game. you're just like, I think you were like pre-Quentin too. Like, this podcast has gone through a lot since I believe you're just like an episode one listener, dude, and it's nice to hear you're coming back to Magic. Do you know who Joshua, have you ever seen a tweet from Josh Q?
I have seen him around. It's definitely been a bit. So I'm glad that Josh is back and playing Magic. That's awesome.
Yeah. Next we have Jonathan. He says, should I wait for prices to go down on MTGO as the time passes for Battle for Zendikar come out, or do the prices stay the same or to go up?
Well, I mean, that depends on the card. Generally, when you have a new set come out, they're just extremely expensive. Like, Ojutai was like 35 tickets to buy after the initial craze with Esper Dragons. And then it went down significantly, like half price in like close to a month. So, I mean, it just depends on you if you could wait. I think it's certainly smart to for most cards. I wonder if Jace is ever going to go down. It's possible he does not.
Dude, come on.
I mean, you never know.
$86 for like...
I actually don't even know how much he is on Moto. I probably don't even want to see...
Yeah, I guess he's a mythic on Moto, so he could be like 100 tickets.
Right.
So I would say wait. Like, if you're looking to figure out what you should do, the correct answer is probably to wait.
Well, and, you know, sometimes it's not correct to wait. Like, Spencer and I were gobbling up fetch lands whenever we could, right? Like,
oh, yeah, for sure. There are some. Yeah, that's true.
It just depends. But for the new set, it's generally correct just to wait.
You know, something that I felt like that I did wrong is we waited on Deathmist Raptor.
Yeah, we did that one wrong.
Yeah, and I ended up having to pay like $100-something for Deathmist Raptors.
Yes. Very glad I picked up my Den Protectors for something like 5 tickets each.
Yeah, exactly. So like sometimes you're just going to – some things are just – it's hard. It's like a stock market. Like, if we knew how to do it, we'd be rich from it. So,
for sure. I did call Jace, though. I got Jace at the beginning of the format when it was like 20 tickets. I was like, oh, man, that's way too cheap. I'm getting that right now.
You think that card is more than 20 tickets right now?
Jace?
Yeah.
I would hope so. What is it, MTG Academy or whatever?
Let's see here. His price history on MTGO. He is currently 46 tickets.
Okay, so we're still up.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. That is expensive.
That is expensive.
His lowest he's ever been is 15 tickets.
That still actually might be one that you want to pick up at that price.
At 46?
It's possible.
That's a hard thing. Quinn, this isn't a financial podcast.
Sorry.
Yeah, we talk about finance all the time.
It's interesting.
It is interesting. Well, thank you everybody for listening this week. We appreciate it. Let's go to shoutouts. Quentin, shoutouts.
Yeah, I do have a shoutout. I unfortunately don't really have a name for the shoutout. Bear with me. I mean, this stream I was competing with SCG this week with a new standard, so viewership was pretty low. But I had a fan, you know, that knew my name and was like, "Hey, Quentin, you know, love the cast." I can't give you a name because it was just on Twitch, but you know who you are. And
what was his Twitch name?
Well, I forgot that too.
What?
I forgot the Twitch name. They're always so weird. Was it the Bob fellow? Maybe it was the Bob guy.
Oh, Honest Bob MTG?
Maybe it was Honest Bob.
He sent us an email before. I believe his name was Brian.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if that was the person who actually sent the message, but I'm sure the person who did knows what I'm talking about. It means a lot when you actually know my name and... you know the podcast I'm on. It's still crazy to me that people do that, but...
I believe I was watching the stream at that time. Didn't he spell your name with an O?
He did. I wasn't going to bring that up, Spencer. I got to call him out like that, dude.
I'm sorry, Brian.
Everybody always misspells my name, dude.
To be fair, your name is not Quentin, like a lot of people named Quentin. Your name is Quentin. Which is a different name.
It is a different name.
So it's not their fault that your parents named you a weird name.
I mean, I've always thought it was weird.
All right, so shout out to Brian.
Well, I assume it was Brian. Maybe it wasn't.
That's the worst shout out in history.
Well, you butchered it.
I didn't butcher it. You didn't know your person's name or handle.
Why did you point that out?
Well, why? You're just saying shout out to a random person who said nice thing to me on the street? Shout out to Billy Bob down the street. He once told me my shoes looked nice.
They would have known.
But you know what? I don't know that his name is Billy Bob.
Exactly. But all they right. would have.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Any other shout-outs, Gil?
No, that's it for me this week, man.
Well, I have a shout-out to Jerry Thompson for introducing me to the ways of bring to the light. He has brought me to the light, and I appreciate it. So shout-out to Jerry T. I have a huge shout-out to the listeners of this podcast for making the last 2 years so great. I look forward to the future with you guys. Check out Limited Time Only. I look forward to doing this with you guys, and just want to get better every day, Q.
So magic's all about.
Yeah. Shout out to you guys. And, but yeah, major shout out to Alan. He is letting us use his, All About That J song as our outro this week. So listen to the outro, check out Alan's YouTube channel, and, everybody go cast some J's, Vern's Prodigies, and some Bring to Lights, right, Q?
Absolutely. Have a good time.
Yeah. And we'll see you guys all next week, when we have an awesome guest on.
It is next week. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, see you guys next week. Bye.
Because you know I'm all about that Jace, no Tibble. I'm all about that Jace, no Tibble. I'm all about that Jace, no Tibble. I'm all about that Jace. I make it pretty clear. I don't play no tier two. I sling the sweetest spells, ain't got no time for brews. I grind those Grand Prix, opens IQs and states with all the right abs and in all the right topics. I'm watching your Twitch stream, you've got the boss to sly. Real founder street scrubs can bite my coursers till I die. I keep my bulk in boxes, I don't sleeve them up. Only busted bombs or mythics from my ones to my six drops. Yeah, I know Sam Black told you there's value in sacking your guys. These four swords, true name, wreck whatever your demise. You know I won't play no elves, burn no deck named after common insects. And like Shaheen Sorani, I've got Esper tattooed across my chest. Because you know I'm all about that Jace, no Tibble. I'm all about that Jace, no Tibble. A base is basic and it's crap. Meanwhile, I'm chaining hunt masters and octodads. I'm gonna get drunk on this treasure cruise until we all forget about that rat. Yeah, I know Kylie told you Chromatic Core's got some game. Wap, wap, wap. But you're wannabe Baneslayer, so stoked to go down in flames. Wap, 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 wap. You know I won't play no legacy decks without divining top. What you're into, then enjoy your O2 drop. Because you know I'm all about that Jace, no Tibble. I'm all about that Jace, no Tibble. I'm all about that Jace, no Tibble. I'm all about that Jace. Because you know I'm all about that Jace, oh, oh. About that Jace.